Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. Hey, my friend, this is Jake Castleman with No More Desire. Welcome to the show. It can be so hard to know how to help someone with a porn addiction. The suffering of those of us that have addicted spouses or children can be unbearable at times. Right? And we worry deeply for our loved one. You know, we try so hard to maybe knock some sense into them or to help them get a grip, to help them get help or to help them ourselves. And we talk and talk and talk until we're blue in the face. We attempt to get through. Sometimes, you know, it feels like our loved one has moments of clarity, knowing that they need to get help. But when we follow up to see if they've set up that therapy appointment or looked up that support group they talked about or started that new daily spiritual or mindfulness practice, we're told maybe that we're being crazy or controlling by following up with them, or they make up some new excuse as to why they don't need to do that anymore, or why they haven't had time, or why they're sober now and they're good to go, and or why they're too overwhelmed, or they just have too much going on to do that right now. It's just not a priority. And we really want our husband, right, our spouse, you know, I'm speaking to women here, and I think that's who I'll really center on because that's probably most of the people listening. I'm speaking to parents too, but I'll just replace the word husband or spouse with a child if it's your child that's struggling. You know, we want our spouse to feel happy, to get clean, to succeed. We don't want them to feel terrible, right? And sometimes we seem to want their sobriety more than they do. Or perhaps they do want it, but they just can't seem to gain any real traction. All right, and we experience these frequent challenges connecting with our loved ones and knowing what to say to them. We just don't know how to help. And today I'm going to teach you how to help someone with a porn addiction in three steps. And very first thing, you know, to kind of lead up to that, I want to share some things about porn addiction. Some statistics and some other kind of insights that might help you. AddictionHelp.com reports that 69% of men view online porn. And 69% view it. Right? But how many of them are addicted? That's the big question, right? That's a question that I think I get a lot and that people ask. And my answer to that is, I guess it depends. How many know that they're addicted? Or how many even consider that their porn use is a problem in the first place? How many men are in denial about this? Or how many men only view porn maybe once every couple of weeks and wouldn't consider that an addiction? How many are unaware, though, of how porn is affecting the way that they view women or interact with other people? Or the damage it's doing to their brain. And I speak from personal experience here. I know how it impacted me after a decade of addiction. I've been sober almost as long, and I can tell you that it has impacted my brain for good in many ways. I've healed from a lot of things within relationships and my mental health and so much anxiety and depression and, you know, a lot of, frankly, immaturity that I suffered with, right? That can be an effect of addiction, any addiction, not just porn addiction, any addiction. And I've healed from a lot of other things just with reference to motivation and focus and concentration. I had a very hard time in the past with those things. So I kind of ask, you know, how many men have a difficult time connecting with other people? In part because porn has trained their brain to see others as objects and makes it more difficult to connect with their deep emotions, both of themselves and others, and to form long-lasting, healthy relationships. And I'm not just talking about romantic relationships, I mean all relationships. Because if we view anyone as an object, we cannot form a deep relationship with them. And this is the kind of thing that porn does to the brain. And again, it doesn't make us a bad person. It just means we need to form new recovery mindset and lifestyle habits to replace the addiction. And then our brain heals over time. We may always have scars of a certain type or to a certain degree, but we can heal from so, so much and have a life beyond our wildest dreams. And we can make the dreams of our spouses come true as well through that healing. And that's what I teach my clients to do. You know, is that to say anyone who views porn as a bad person, they can't care for others? No, of course not. But how incredible could that person be without porn? I witness this every day. How many of those 69% of men could stop viewing porn today without craving or obsessing over it once they can't have it? How many are more reliant on it than they know? And once they accept and understand that they have that reliance, coming out of that addiction by building the right mental, physical, spiritual, relationship habits, they can overcome it. And then their mind expands, their life expands, their potential expands. They experience a freedom that they've never known before by getting rid of porn addiction. You know, again, I speak as someone who used to be in this exact spot. I had no idea how much watching porn was ruining my mental health or my relationships until I quit porn. I also had no idea how reliant I was on it as a mechanism for escaping stress and numbing mental and emotional pain. And porn addiction, or just porn use in general, is having a very negative impact on the world, especially for men, but obviously for their loved ones as well, whom they impact, whether they know it or not, through their porn addiction. It's causing men to lack drive and motivation. Okay, we see this everywhere. It's not just a drive to pursue relationships with women, which it certainly does do that. It certainly does degrade our drive and motivation to pursue deep, real relationships and long-lasting, committed relationships with women. But it's not just that. It's drive and motivation in our day-to-day lives, in everything we do. In my intensive porn addiction recovery program, I teach my clients to build new lifestyle habits using a concept known as pleasure conditioning. And pleasure conditioning is all about what type of pleasure we are conditioning our mind to in our daily activities. For instance, if I spend a total of a couple of hours a day playing video games or watching porn or watching TV or eating junk food or scrolling social media or all of the above or a combination, then my brain becomes conditioned to that type of pleasure that is easy to obtain and takes little effort. Again, pleasure that is easy to obtain and takes little effort. I talked about this in the last episode. I call these base pleasures. These types of activities numb the mind. They're mindless and they don't help us grow. In fact, they actually diminish our passion, joy, and capacity. They are not building our mind. They are not building our lives. They are diminishing our lives and our potential. And that's hard to accept, right? Because they can be so enjoyable, so fun in the moment. But this is something we really need to look at, guys. If you have a hard time accepting this, I ask you, please listen. If I spend my days in activities like writing, reading, having conversations, serving people, working, learning, cooking, playing musical instruments, whatever it is that I'm doing that's adding fulfillment to my life, then my brain becomes conditioned to that kind of pleasure that is harder to get and takes more effort. Pleasure that leads to growth and happiness. And I call these noble pleasures. These activities are mindful rather than mindless, right? They expand our mind. So with that, let's revisit the question from earlier. Who do you know that struggles with a porn addiction? Well, who do you know that struggles with motivation issues? Anxiety, depression, anger, trouble connecting with other people. When we engage in a lot of low-effort, mindless activities that yield an intense mental reward, like things such as porn or video games, social media, junk food, these often contribute to things like anxiety, depression, ADHD, social anxiety, etc. And it's hard to say that because these things like video games and junk food can be really fun and enjoyable. They can feel like a break from life. They can give us an out. But meanwhile, they are dampening the person we could be, the good that we could do, the relationships we could build, the dreams that we could pursue, the extent to which we could enjoy the present moment and spending time with the ones that we love. And so if you know someone with these struggles of anxiety, depression, ADHD, social anxiety, trouble connecting with people, low motivation, you may know someone with a porn addiction that contributes to those struggles. And notice that I say again, contributes. It isn't the whole picture, but it is, can be a part of it. The more that we engage in porn or other addictive behaviors, the worse it makes things like anxiety, depression, and issues with focus and motivation. And then the worse that those struggles become, the more we want to numb out using our addictions. And I've been there. I lived that for 10 years. Well, over 10 years, if you include addictions to things like video games and junk food when I was a kid. It's difficult to break that cycle, but it can be done. It can be done. So how do you help someone with a porn addiction? Now, is that a spouse? Is it a child? Is it a friend? Helping all of these people really entails the same steps, just with increasing involvement for spouses and children. So I'm going to lay these out for you. These are three different steps. If you've been enjoying today's episode, please rate my podcast, my friend. It helps it reach more people. Do that right now and go inside the app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're at. Just give me a rating on there and help it reach more people. Hope you're enjoying the episode so far. Let's talk about step one. Step one is to understand and empower. We need to broaden our perspective on addiction, guys. The addiction is not ultimately the issue, but it's a symptom. It increases our struggles, but it is ultimately not the source of our struggles. So this is the understanding piece from step one. Okay, we need to live with understanding and empowerment. Give understanding and empowerment to the person who struggles with porn addiction. Again, I'm going to speak from the standpoint of people with spouses with porn addiction because they're probably the most common person listening. But shout out to all those parents struggling too. It's just as hard. So addiction, you know, when it comes to understanding, addiction is a symptom of underlying mental and emotional pain. Okay, understand that. Addiction is a symptom of underlying mental and emotional pain. So do not see the addiction as the problem because it's not. It's just a symptom. When we suffer and that suffering has underlying... So when we suffer with mental and emotional pain and that is coupled with self-judgment and self-worth issues, or in other words, shame, I'm not good enough, a part of our brain will often influence us to seek out a way to numb and escape the overwhelming pain. Okay, that's because of the self-judgment and the self-worth issues. We can suffer with mental and emotional pain, but when it's coupled with that self-judgment and the self-worth issues, we will almost always seek out an addiction. And whatever that drug of choice is, I say drug, quote unquote, it could be anything. It could be food, it could be gossip, it could be codependence, it could be things like sports, watching sports, it could be food. Did I already say food? I think I already said food. It could be drugs or alcohol, obviously. It could be video games. It could be social media. Whatever that thing is, right? We can make an addiction out of almost anything, and I could go deeper into that, but that's a whole nother episode. Any of us with serious issues with self-worth coupled with mental and emotional suffering will often seek out an addiction or multiple addictions to cope with the pain. And here's the thing, is when our sexual urges become obsessive, it is always because there is an underlying mental and emotional pain that is fueling the addiction. So to help someone overcome porn addiction, it is best that we do not see the addiction as the cause. but instead as the symptom. We may have sexual urges, okay, but when they become obsessive, that is not a natural thing. It's not a natural thing. Again, I really want to drive that home. Here's what you need to understand. And this is the empowerment part. Okay, I'm empowering you, and I'm going to help you understand how to empower your spouse. This will help empower both of you. The porn addiction has nothing to do with your spouse's sexual urges. I know that might sound so strange. It has nothing to do with your spouse's sexual urges. Let me say that one more time. A porn addiction has nothing to do with sexual urges, and it has everything to do with attempting to escape and avoid internal suffering. When your husband has a porn addiction, and again, I know this might sound strange, but just listen. When your husband has a porn addiction, I think this will make sense. It is not because you fall short as a spouse to fulfill his sexual desires. That is not why he is seeking out porn. And I think that this can free you. And I know it's not enough to just say it once or to hear this in the moment, because that is an immense pain that goes deep. But maybe it can help free you a bit to understand that, or at least start to practice understanding it. Sex is not a need. And a lot of guys out there are going to hate me for saying that. Sex is not a need. Though it may appear to be one, okay, especially to the male mind, it is optional, though. It often appears to be a need because we as males can so easily succumb to using masturbation and porn as a way to cope with difficult emotions from the time that we are a teen or earlier. And for a majority of us, this happens very naturally. I know there are females out there with porn addictions. I don't mean to cut you guys out. It's just much more common for males, so I'm speaking from that perspective. Okay, both males and females have natural sexual urges. I want to kind of dive into this a little bit to help you understand a few things. Understand that sex is not a need. It's optional. Okay, and when sexual urges become obsessive, it is to deal with an internal pain and to avoid that suffering. And it can be really hard to see, especially with something like masturbation that can be so innately built in to the male mind from the time they're in puberty. But those are some really powerful connections for a lot of men. And it can be very hard to see through the mind's automatic response to stress and to suffering, mental and emotional suffering, that then leads us to masturbation and to craving masturbation. And it can feel automatic. We're like, what? Like, I'm a man. I need to relieve this. Let me explain a few things. Okay, I'm gonna speak to the biological component because that's important, and it's important that we have empathy for that. Males and females both have natural sexual urges, but men also have an internal biological meter that continuously fills after puberty, i.e. sperm builds up and eventually must be released, whether manually or through a wet dream, right? It's just the way it works. Okay, I know it might feel awkward for some of us, but that's just the way that this works. Sperm builds up and it eventually must be released, whether manually or through a wet dream. I'm going to say it one more time just to really drive the awkwardness in for those of us feeling that. But we got to normalize these things. That's a big part of the problem, and what leads us to sexual addictions is we feel so much shame about this stuff. We need to normalize it. It's okay. It's normal. It's part of being a male. Just as women have an ongoing cycle, men have an ongoing cycle of buildup and release of sperm. And I'm telling you this to help you gain understanding for your spouse if you have a spouse struggling with porn addiction. So understand this piece. This is good to know. Okay, before that release of sperm, the physical urge to relieve it can be quite overwhelming. And it may build up over a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, depending on the male. It may build up to a month, probably not usually beyond that. If it does, I pray for you, brother. That's a great deal of suffering. But it doesn't have to be, and I'll get into that in a minute. But this often comes with an increased intensity of drive and heightened emotions. Okay, that buildup that can happen over the course of a few weeks or so comes with an increased intensity of drive and heightened emotions. This can be a lot of anger, for instance. It doesn't have to be anger. The anger is coupled with shame and fear and insecurities and other things that we just deal with as human beings. And so, as men, if we have not learned how to direct our mind and use our manly drive and testosterone for purposeful, meaningful, and productive means, then we will be unable to point our manly capacity in the right direction. Okay, one more time. As men, if we have not learned how to direct our mind and use this drive and testosterone for purposeful, meaningful, and productive means, and I'm not talking about sex productive, I'm talking about life productive, relationships, work, hobbies, interests, passions, building things, creating things, pursuing things. Okay, men used to fight in battles and wars, and they used to work on the farm for 10 hours a day. Why do you think they did all these things? One of the reasons is because they have this massive manly drive that builds up in their body, that it drives them to accomplish and do, both mentally and physically. And a lot of us are at desk jobs now, which I think does a disservice to many of us. But if we are, then we have to be caught up in some really intense work to get that drive out, to use it for something productive. Okay, so in other words, if we don't do this, if we don't learn how to direct it and practice directing it, which I teach my clients to do, we will default to things like masturbation, porn, or meaningless sex, especially meaningless sex outside of a committed, loving relationship, right? Just pursuing the opposite gender for our own pleasure. We will default to that in order to relieve the physical and mental pressure of the buildup. Okay, when used properly, these urges to do and succeed can be incredible. We can change the world. We can change people's lives using this drive as men. Men, so often these days, we're demonized in a lot of ways. Okay, and we're built up in a lot of ways too. But I'm just saying some of these manly feelings of aggression and anger and drive and all those things can really, they're really talked down to in a lot of ways in our Western culture, I think, especially. And anger and aggression, not good things. But that same drive for anger and aggression is the same thing that can drive us to be powerful husbands and fathers. It can drive us to build a business. It can drive us to serve in our community. It can drive us to create efficient systems in corporations. It can drive us to become a CEO or to promote through the ranks, to make something of ourselves in our careers. We need to be taught how to direct it. So when used properly, these things can be powerful, but if we squander this potential, then we can be left feeling unfulfilled, drained, and isolated. So I hope this is helpful. In order to overcome porn addiction, we need to develop a recovery mindset and a lifestyle, a way of living that replaces our desire for porn. That's why my program is called No More Desire. We are replacing our desire for porn with a recovery mindset and lifestyle. And this requires us, in part, to choose a life of purpose, meaning, accomplishment, connection, service. Especially as men, if we do not choose this kind of life, then we will be ruled by our sexual urges. It is so easy for that to happen. It's been easy since the dawn of man for that to happen. And that was before things like porn were available. Now it's even harder. We have to be so much more conscious with what we do with our time and our efforts. There are so many things to distract us, like video games. Video games are an incredible way to distract us, to help make us feel like we're accomplishing something without actually accomplishing anything. And it drains us out of our manly potential to accomplish and do. hard to hear in a lot of ways, but that's just the way of it. Sexual outlets like porn and masturbation can easily become the pacifier that robs us of our God-given abilities. And so can video games. So if we're trying to help somebody quit porn, we must understand that their life is simply out of balance. Okay, they are dealing with both the mental and emotional pain that we talked about. Okay, that can be trauma, that can be anxiety and fear, that can be shame, right? A lot of shame. I'm not good enough. This feeling, I'm not good enough, I don't do enough. These drive porn addiction, and also needing more purpose and meaning in our lives drive porn addiction. Again, especially as males, we need to have these pursuits. So to empower if you have a spouse or a husband with a porn addiction, you can empower them, both by listening to them and helping them open up, as well as getting them involved in doing great things. If you have a child, right, hopefully you can get them involved in serving the community, in sports and activities, in church, all these types of things, getting them involved as much as you can. You can't control them, right? But getting them involved as much as you can. And if you have a spouse, you can plan things to do with them. Encourage them in their efforts to accomplish and do great things. Give them to-do lists. Yeah, seriously. Some of the men out there are going to be like, dude, are you serious? But seriously, give them to-do lists and discuss that and be respectful. But let's talk about things that you can do to get busy and feel good, feel fulfilled. Even though you may not feel like doing it, once you start doing it, you'll feel better. Or the more you do it, the more you'll build a habit of doing these types of things that are productive or that help you feel fulfilled instead of the meaningless entertainment that drives you into addiction. Okay, and also you can create systems in your home and in your family that foster meaningful connections and hobbies and interests and things you guys do together. Rather than just sitting down and watching Netflix, don't do that. I know that you might rely on that yourself. That's okay, right? But stop doing that. Stop sitting down and watching Netflix every single night after work's over. It isn't doing either of you a favor. It is making your life smaller. It is making their susceptibility to addiction greater. You need to choose other things to do. Read together, okay? Build things together. Cook together. Go out in nature and on a hike together. Do sports together. Do stuff together that helps you feel happy. And of course, taking care of the kids and spending time with kids. If you have kids, that's big. Do stuff together as a family. Now, all that said, for those of us who have a spouse or a child with porn addiction, like I said, we can't control them. In fact, attempting to control them will actually fuel the addiction. Because negative emotions like shame and judgment and control are not and never will be the solution for addiction. They are its cause. It's part of what I teach in my program. Things like control and judgment are the cause of addiction. So addiction stems from a feeling of unworthiness, right? Judgment and control are a big part of that. Both how we're treated by others and how we treat ourselves. Therefore, to help someone overcome porn addiction, we need to go through the patience testing process of loving them, understanding them, and having compassion for the pain that they carry inside. Okay, we need to do that while empowering them to hopefully lead better lives as much as we can. Now, as we have compassion for them and understanding for them, and we give them as much space to grow as we can, this doesn't mean that we allow them to walk all over us. It does not mean that. It does not mean that we need to try our very best to show them understanding and care in order to help them. We need to show them understanding and care in order to help them heal the underlying feelings of insecurity and fear that drove them to addiction. Drove them there in the first place, right? But it does not mean that we need to let them walk all over us. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Let's move on to step two. Okay, step one was a big one. That's understand and empower. Step two is self-improvement and self-care. If you want your spouse or your child to get help and to quit porn, do everything you can to work on yourself. Okay, you're not responsible for their sobriety and their recovery, nor should you make yourself. Okay, but you can improve yourself. None of us are perfect. Okay, if we have a spouse that struggles with addiction, we may struggle with addictions ourselves, and those can come in many different forms. Or we may struggle with negative bad habits, right? Or we judge or we try to control them, we try to escape situations, etc., right? But if you can take time to really work on yourself, this can help inspire your spouse, or it can at least put you in a better place to be able to assist them and to know what to do for them. So learn mindfulness techniques. Practice daily physical, spiritual, mental, and relational routines that improve your well-being. Serve your family in every way you can. Plan fun activities together. Make friends that help you feel belonging. Go to therapy. Begin your own addiction recovery. Do everything you can to heal and feel happier. And this will likely motivate your spouse or child to do their own work to heal as well. Or it may not. Either way, it will put you in a better place to be able to handle whatever comes and to help them if you work on yourself and care for yourself. So that's a short one. Step three. Step three is boundaries and intervention. Okay, step three, boundaries. When it comes to friends, spouses, and children who struggle with a porn addiction, we want to make it clear that we are not the source of their mental and emotional stability. We're not their savior. We're not responsible for their recovery or the lack thereof. We're not. Okay, that's one of the fundamental boundaries of recovery. You are not responsible for your spouse's or your child's recovery. Okay, and holding this boundary requires a very mature, firm, and respectful stance. Okay, notice I said respectful. Not a judgmental or controlling stance or a belittling stance. This is not to belittle your spouse. This is to hold steady and strong in your own place. Hold where you stand. We must tell these people, if we have a spouse that struggles with addiction, that we will not be treated with disrespect, nor will we allow ourselves to be manipulated. We will not be held responsible for their relapses. We will also not stand for emotional abuse or neglect. We got to hold that line hard, because when we struggle with addiction, we can be very prone towards manipulation, towards being controlling, towards lying, being dishonest. It doesn't make us bad people. It just makes us hurt. We're hurt people. We need to learn new ways. And one of the things that many of us did not experience when we were children were these boundaries and this demand, this expectation of respect and honesty. Okay, maybe we were shown very different examples than that, or we were never held accountable for our decisions. And that doesn't mean if you have a spouse now, you got to check up on everything they do and hold them accountable with judgment and control. Again, do not come from that place. It is the driver of addiction. Don't do that. But for yourself, you got to speak up for yourself. Without contempt or resentment, as much as you can, and without pandering to your loved one's manipulation or coercion or delusion. In most cases, I've found that struggling addicts are unaware of their negative habits of fear, tactics, and manipulation. Okay, our spouses, you know, they were often taught these tactics when they were young by other people who were hurt and suffering. And now it's your job to be a chain breaker. And this often requires blunt, respectful declarations of self-respect and holding appropriate boundaries. And these are not boundaries about every little decision this person makes, just expectations about how we ourselves are treated by them. And perhaps expectations about, you know, what our spouse must do if they are to remain married to us. But remember, of course, that we always do our best to hold these boundaries and expectations in combination with understanding and empowerment. as well as self-improvement and self-care. The first two steps. Then when it comes to intervention, that's another part of boundaries. My hope is that what I've said so far will be enough to bring your spouse or your child to sobriety, but sometimes something more drastic is needed. If you want your spouse or your child to heal and get better, sometimes you need to be the one to tell them. Sometimes you need to lay down what you will and won't accept, and that they need to get help, period. And hopefully you can help them see the light. Maybe you've tried to do that a million times. I get that. Hopefully they'll go willingly, but they may not. And then a decision must be made on your part of how you're going to handle that. And that can be done with professional advice and guidance. That needs to be handled very delicately and personally. If your spouse or child is open to getting help, I invite you to check out the No More Desire program. Okay, many solutions out there, like internet filters or accountability buddies or talk therapy or church or religious programs, they all have merit. Okay, but so many are missing some key elements for long-lasting sobriety, which are daily exercises, hands-on practices, these things that we do every day, these practical types of solutions that build new mindset and lifestyle habits. To recover, we need step-by-step instructions to develop a recovery mindset and lifestyle. And it isn't enough to just stop watching porn. Okay, that's not going to get us there. We don't just need to stop watching porn. That's not the root of the issue. We can be clean of porn without actually being in recovery. There's a difference between just being free of a behavior and actually being in recovery. Addiction's a symptom of deeper underlying challenges, many of which we've talked about in this episode. Some of which we've talked about in this episode. The No More Desire Intensive Recovery Program is a one-of-a-kind program with a unique approach for getting sober. Okay, my clients don't just quit porn. They build a recovery mindset and a recovery lifestyle using hands-on daily exercises that retrain their brain and forge new habits that last a lifetime. And once this mindset and lifestyle are established, their desire for porn naturally fades. So if you want to check out how that works, you can go check out my porn addiction recovery program at nomoredesire.com/program. I hope that today's episode has been helpful for you, my friend. If you want to take this seriously, if you want your spouse to get better, check out my program, nomoredesire.com/program. And set up a call with me, apply for the program, and then set up a call. We can talk all about the issues and challenges that you or your spouse is facing and what they need to do to work through and overcome those challenges. And my program itself, it involves a tailored and personalized recovery plan, daily assessments that my clients take that I use to develop solutions for them. We meet once a week, and they also have the step-by-step recovery program with all the hands-on exercises and every single practical type of daily exercise they need to build, every habit they need to build to overcome porn addiction for good. So check that out there. Again, please rate this podcast, my friend. It helps more people find it. If you enjoyed today's episode, if you found it helpful, go into your whatever it is, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., and rate the podcast. Give me a star rating. God bless and much love, my friend. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.